I'm Clay Scott, and you're listening to Mountain West Voices.
Farming is the only thing I ever imagined doing. So it was, in some ways, just coming home for me to get back in touch with the land. And, you know, it feels right.
That's Doug Crabtree. I visited him and his wife Anna at their organic farm in north central Montana, just south of the Alberta-Saskatchewan border. This is wide open country where buffalo roamed by the thousands. At first, these plains seem flat, but look again and you'll see that the ground is folded into hundreds of coulees and swales and dips and low ridges and gullies. The only trees are the occasional cottonwood along the streams, and a few clusters of Russian olives planted by homesteaders to protect themselves from the wind that comes howling from the north and west. As for the homesteaders themselves, most of them are long gone. There was once a farm on every square mile section in this country, but the winters are harsh, the rain is unpredictable, and the majority of those early farmers decided a century ago to try their luck somewhere with a gentler climate. That's why it's interesting that Doug and Anna Crabtree, a couple in their 40s with doctorates and good careers, spent their life's savings to come to this place and till the soil.
Let me look at the map. We'll make sure where you...
Go on, Rusty, and then I'll leave you with the dogs. Rusty will know.
So, yeah, there's a Canadian thistle patch right in here.
Is it close to the end?
Well, I have it marked. I'll need to walk out there and find it.
Doug and Anna keep careful notes about every field. In contrast to the wheat farms that predominate in most of north-central Montana, the Crabtrees produce an amazing diversity of organic crops, including safflower, spelt, several types of lentils and peas, Khorasan wheat, oats, and barley.
The diversity for us is a big part of our risk management program. You know, we grow 21 crops this year, and we'll harvest 15 of those. We start before most people, and we're still seeding when they're done. We'll start harvest before almost anybody, and we'll still be harvesting when snow gets here. So we spread our season. You know, if there's a particular pest or a disease, you know, they might get one of those crops, but probably not more than one. We also specialize in high-value specialty heirloom crops. For instance, we don't have any red wheat. We grow crops that most people haven't even heard of, let alone try to grow.
Doug and Anna call their operation Velikus Farms. That's a Latin word for steward. Their fields stretch over 1,840 acres, almost 3 square miles, but they farm it so intensively that they make me think of serious backyard gardeners. While Doug wades into a field of black beluga lentils, pulling up Canadian thistle with his gloved hands, Anna walks me through one of the 24-foot strips that separate the crops. The strips are lush and pungent, covered with dozens of species of flowering plants. They're intended to provide habitat for birds and wildlife, as well as for the many species of insects that pollinate the crops.
When we think of bees, we all think of honeybees and the hives, and they're a really important part of our food system, but so are all these other pollinators. So little edges like this with flowering things are really, really important to helping to restore and take care of that entire pollinator population.
I think most of my neighbors think we're insane. The ones that know us a little bit and watch carefully what we do probably just think we work way too hard. You know, I think efficiency is a dangerous concept. You know, it leads one to specialize. We think of what does the land need first, and then try to design our systems so we can also make a living doing what we feel is right and not doing things that we would feel is wrong.
Those of us who really, I think a lot about this, as much as we try to be rational and thoughtful and provide good, elegant solutions, I think it's about showing up with your heart. And this is something that Doug and I can do together that really invests ourselves in it.
The challenge of doing things that hardly anybody, maybe nobody else does, you know, in terms of some of the crops we grow and the rotation and the cultural practices that, that bring it all together. You know, we'll never have it figured out.
The one act that all of us do every day that interacts with the planet is what we eat. And if we can fix that system, that will be magic.
You've been listening to Mountain West Voices. Our series is produced in association with the O'Connor Center for the Rocky Mountain West, a regional studies and public education program of the University of Montana. Additional support was provided by the Greater Montana Foundation. To see images of the Crabtree Farm by photographer Beth Gibson, and to listen to and download stories from around the Rocky Mountain West, go to mountainwestvoices.org. I'm Clay Scott.